was water.
I love water too. I grew up swimming. The very first time I was given the opportunity to take swim lessons, I was 5 years old, and at Northeastern Illinois University, my mother registered me for a swim class. I remember holding on to the side of the pool, you know, where the gutter is, and learning how to kick and how to put your face in the water and breathe, and to be able to, you know, not take in water through your nose. And I became a fairly strong swimmer. It's something that I continue to enjoy. I became a lifeguard with the Chicago Park Districts, also guarded at the University of Illinois. And after that, I also guarded at Northwestern University. But I, to this day, you know, I'm very passionate about water safety. I don't necessarily talk about it all the time. We can't dwell on it every single day. But I was struck by some comments that our guest made last time, Dave Benjamin, who is the director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. And he was talking about how there really is a lack of a general knowledge and understanding of water safety and what it means to get into the beach or go to the pool or leave a child unattended or get in a boat. There's just so many things that we really don't know, and a lot of things that we just kind of take for granted that we'll be okay in the water.
Yes, unfortunately, you know, the number one thing we'll hear from family and friends after a tragic event is, I didn't know. And it's usually some simple information like, I didn't know drowning is one of the leading causes of accidental death, or mm-hmm. I didn't know that 80% of drowning victims are male, or I didn't know that drowning is silent.
Right.
And then people are on their phones, or they're not watching their children in the water, or watching other people at the beach, and just assuming that somebody else is watching the child, because they assume that a drowning person would be yelling and waving and splashing, and it doesn't
struggling.
Happen like that. Like,
right.
You know, if they're at their phone, that they would hear their child because they could recognize that voice through a crowd, you know, a scream for help. But it's silent and it's swift, and it happens all too often, and often within, you know, very close range of help.
And people don't realize how dangerous the lakefront is here in Chicago. They're like, oh, it's just a lake. It's like Michigan. There are riptides. There's inconsistent depths when you are just even walk in from the sand. If you are at a beach that's guarded, if you're along the rocks, you don't realize how dangerous it is to jump in the water near that the shoreline. And I think that the city used to be a little bit better educated, but you mentioned before we came on the air that there were 12 drownings in Lake Michigan over the weekend.
Not in Lake Michigan.
The Great Lakes?
12 drownings in the Great Lakes over the Labor Day weekend.
Which that seems extremely high.
Yeah, and actually it's the deadliest Labor Day weekend, actually the deadliest weekend since we've been tracking drownings since 2010. And I couldn't, you know, fathom come Friday that, okay, this is going to be a busy weekend for me. I'm going to be tracking all these drownings, and this is really going to consume, you know, the time. And then at the same time, sending out press releases, trying to get information out and trying to decipher what happened, when and where, and what are we missing that this continues to happen.
I love the swim. I learned at an early age, like you did too. And I'm seeing now that my godkids learned. I mean, they were in the water, I want to say 2-3 years old, with the floaties and everything. What I see that concerns me, I think it's great that kids are learning at a young age, but this is just my opinion. I see a lot of kids at pools doing flips and backflips, and they're right by the side of the pool and whatnot. And I also see a lot of people going out on the lake tubing. And that's awesome and fun and great, but it just seems to me when you have a little kid, even with the life jacket on, 4, 5, 6 years old, that seems kind of dangerous to take your toddler tubing, right?
I don't really go tubing too often, but, you know, unfortunately, there's no regulation. You know, it's you have a life jacket on, you're on a tube, you're with an adult, you're being pulled by a boat. Hopefully, it's a responsible boater, that they're, you know, so there's a spotter, someone's paying attention, that if they go off the tube, that they cut the speed and they come, you know, back. I think the last time I went tubing, you know, it's what guys do, is the guy driving the boat was being a real jerk and was swerving all over
sure.
the place.
So you go flying off the boat,
right,
or off the tube, yeah.
Right, you know, and occasionally you'll see that, but usually with young children, they won't do that, but, you know, it's a risk.
Yeah, and drinking too. I mean, I think anybody operating a boat, no matter how great of a boater they are, shouldn't be drinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like drinking and driving, you know, you shouldn't be doing that either. What we found, though, surprisingly, with the mass majority of all of our drownings on the Great Lakes, drinking's not a huge contributing factor. People would assume it is, but really it's not. It's someone who's swimming or fishing or boating or fell off a pier or swimming off the pier. They went into the waves and the dangerous currents and they didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know bullet point is panic is the first stage of drowning. Mm-hmm. So you're having a panic attack in water over your head. You're not thinking rationally. You're fighting to survive, and you're exhausting yourself. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand what panic is, the impact of panic in the water, and that you have to do the opposite of your instinct. So, you know, if you were to catch on fire, your clothes, what would you do?
Stop, drop, and roll.
But what would your panic say? Or your...
Oh, I would be screaming my head off.
Right, you'd be running.
Yeah.
You know, that which would fuel the flame. So you got to do the opposite of your instinct, is stop, drop, and roll. So if someone's in trouble, in water over their head, we do the opposite. Flip over on your back and float. So flip, float, and follow.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We want you to stop and, you know, almost do nothing. Just get your breathing under control. Now, if you're in some waves, there's going to be a little bit more turbulence. It's not going to be as easy. It's going to be a combination of treading water, floating, duck diving under a cresting wave. But we really want you to focus on breathing and staying at the surface of the water for as long as possible, because unfortunately, a drowning victim, you know, an adult-sized drowning victim usually lasts less than a minute at the surface of the water.
Wow.
In early July of this summer, a young girl died at Loyola Beach. She drowned. Her name was Darian Torres. And someone who saw that tragic death, Hallie Quesada was there when... Darian disappeared in the water, and she is now part of the... You started the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety. Hallie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear things like 12 people died an entirely preventable death this weekend alone.
Tell us a little bit about that day that you were at Loyola Beach. It was after the guards had gone off duty after 7 p.m., is that right?
Yeah, when we arrived to the beach, the guards were... just leaving. They took all of their rescue equipment, all of the rescue, any flotation device that was on the beach, got locked up in a bodega on the sand with them at just after 7 o'clock. I have pictures of my kids on the beach, time stamped at 7:26, and the girl that drowned wasn't even on the beach yet. First 911 call went out at just after 7:30, so minutes later. When it happened so fast. And we felt so powerless, and I think we started with a lot of hope and apprehension when we saw the officers running to the waterfront, and we went running also. My husband has rescue, is a scuba rescue diver. I'm a former EMT, so we went to help. And I didn't know what drowning looked like. You know, I'm used to getting on scene after, and we just saw a little bit of a girl's head kind of being thrown around when the waves came. It went right over her head and we couldn't see her. And then, you know, in between the waves, which were maybe every 2 seconds, we would see a little glimpse of her face. And the first responding officer said he was a lifeguard and he stripped down and he went in. The other officer guarded his gun. We were really quiet. And now when I hear Dave talking, I'm like, why weren't we screaming, trying to help snap her out of that panic, give her directions, tell her a lifeguard was coming?
Right.
You know, there's so many regrets that just roll through my mind. And many of them are also I'm a little bit angry about it. You know, like, why should her life rest on regrets of a guilt-ridden witness to tragedy? There were so many other points where her death could have been prevented. So many things that could have happened, so many things that could have been by the city. There were probably 11 patrol officers there. They drive up and down the beach. Within minutes, there were officers swarming. Not a single one had access to those flotation devices that were locked up right there on that same beach. Mm-hmm. It took about 20 minutes to get a flotation device there. And in the meantime, another officer and a Good Samaritan who went out to help ended up drowning themselves and needed rescue. There were just people flocking into deadly water. Nobody knew that there are what structural currents are. You know, there's a danger zone that I know now next to structures, and that's the current that was pulling these people out, and that's where everyone kept entering to try and help. It was a hard place to be.
And I know that, you know, telling you that, you know, you can't carry that guilt with you. I know that's something you'll work through. And as part of that, I'm guessing, is wanting to feel like you have control over something. And by starting the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety, tell us a little bit about this organization that you've created.
Yes, it started with a petition. So we put a petition together to the mayor with really common sense, pretty obvious things in hindsight that we need to keep people safe. Dave worked with us on it. We had a number of experts giving their input, and it kind of took off. We got thousands of signatures, and more than that, We had a lot of families contacting us of drowning victims, wanting us to do more and asking how they could help. And we had a lot of community members saying, you know what, I've lived on this beach since 1986, and I see it every year. A kid goes in here, they find them over there an hour later. We've seen it before. What else can we do? We signed the petition. What else? So we started this to have a place to connect people, connect resources, and make sure that we were keeping city officials honest as we work for real and sustainable change.
What are some of the elements, or the folks that you talked to who maybe have lived there for, as long as you said, since the 80s, did they have any comments or thoughts about the fact that the lifeguard service used to be on duty past the sundown? Because they were, when we worked, it was past 9 o'clock. We were actually supposed to work from 1 to 10, but we were always still on the beach until 10 p.m., so we were available.
You know, we get mixed comments, actually. We get a lot of comments saying exactly that. Yeah, lifeguards used to be here, and when lifeguards are here, people aren't drowning. We get other people saying, you know, be careful, because we actually wait to go to the beach till after the lifeguards are off duty, because we are swimmers and we want to swim deeper, and they don't like the rules.
Even
strong swimmers, I don't think should be out after you're not supposed to be out.
Exactly.
In the nighttime too.
Well, anyone who wants to do open water swimming, if they want to go off the beach, off the lakefront, off the shore, there are places that you can do along the Oak Street ledge. Mm-hmm. There are places that aren't, you know, waist deep or anything like that. You can do a little bit of research, but maybe it's closer to them and they just want to wait till guards get off duty. Wow.
And what's interesting is I recently found out our local beach does have a deep swim lane, but these things aren't advertised. They're not known. Just like we don't have the signage to tell people about the dangerous currents near the structures, we also don't have the signage to tell people where they can safely swim in deeper waters, and legally too. So overall information is really lacking.
I'm going to take a break here, Hallie. We're talking to Hallie Quesada. She started the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety. Where can people find out more about your organization?
Facebook is the best right now. So if you type that in the search, Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety, we abbreviate it to CAUSE, you can join our Facebook group, and we'll keep you posted on everything that's happening.
And we're also talking
to... This Sunday, we're actually having a meeting in Rogers Park. It's at one of our members' homes, so when you register for the event, right on our Facebook page, we send the address. It's from 2 to 3:30 this Sunday, and we'll be planning for the year.
So go to the Facebook page. And we also have in studio with us Dave Benjamin, who is the director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. And we're also going to talk a little bit about boating, too. Hallie, hold on the line. We also have some folks calling in and texting. So we'll take those comments and questions when we come back. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, 720 WGN 312-981-7200 to join the conversation anytime. Over the weekend, there were 12 drownings over Labor Day weekend in the Great Lakes. And over the last month or so, I've been having conversations with Dave Benjamin about water safety. And I'm drawn to his message about education, the things that people are not aware of, even the idea that we're all, when we're kids, we see that video of safety when you're on fire, it's stop, drop, and roll. But we don't know what to do if we're struggling in the water. And tell us again what the words are that people should try to keep in their minds if they're struggling in the water.
If you're ever struggling in water over your head, what we advocate is that you flip, float, and follow. So you flip over on your back and you float to keep your head above water, float to calm down from the fear and panic of drowning, float to conserve your energy, and then follow a safe path out of the water. So float first, exit strategy second. If you want to survive a drowning incident, you have to stay at the surface and continue breathing for either self-rescue or professional rescue to arrive.
It's so important. And the work that you're doing with the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project, I really hope that people take notice and are willing to be open to the idea that they don't know everything there is to know about water safety, because you can be overly confident too, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly. And we kind of look at it like, say, seatbelts. You know, right. if we were having a presentation on seatbelts, how many people would show up? Not very many. But the thing is there's been education and research and mm-hmm. regulation and enforcement, and we don't do that with water safety. And most people often assume, like, hey, I've been swimming. When I had a drowning incident, you know, I was 40 years old. And until that moment, I never had the experience of a drowning incident.
Right.
And so my experience was, you know, I don't have anything to worry about. Until, you know, it was too late, and I got lucky with that one. Mm-hmm. But we just need to understand that water safety is not common sense. It's assumed to be common sense. Right. And it's not complex information that we need to share, but we need it to be understood. Like, everyone knows that you get in your car, you don't text and drive, you put on your seatbelt. And if you're driving down the street and you got a little kid in the back seat, they're going to tell you to put your seatbelt on, because that's the level of education that we've taken the seriousness with having seatbelts, because kids have been buckled in since birth.
Dave, I have a food question. Is that okay. A wives' tale that how much you eat? So, I mean, say you're out all day, you're on the lake, you're having a picnic, you're having some food and you're getting full, and is it a wives' tale that you should wait about an hour before you go back in? Can food kind of weight you down and give you maybe a side cramp?
It would weight you down. I never had any problems with it. I think the premise was that you could cramp up.
Right.
Ideally, though, I mean, me with participating in sports my whole life, I never wanted to have a big meal before I, you know, go exert myself. So yeah. If I'm going surfing, I'm not going to have a huge meal, and then I'm going to be out in the water for a couple hours.
I don't either when I surf.
So I just, yeah.
And on the line with us is Haley Quesada, who was on the shore when the tragic drowning of Darian Torres, yeah, happened, and again, in that same sense that you felt helpless, didn't have any experience with this before, and now are you're committed to making sure that something changes in the city of Chicago. What kind of reaction have you been getting aside from the families? I know that you mentioned that survivors have reached out to you, family members who've lost somebody. Are you getting any sort of pushback from anybody? You know, folks are like, oh, it's just the lake. You know, why are you making a big deal out of this? Or do they really get it?
You know what? We do get mixed reviews. I think we hear a lot of that stigma around drowning. Like, well, if you can't swim, you shouldn't go in the water. But Darian could swim. Or we hear a lot of things like, well, the rules say you shouldn't swim when there aren't lifeguards on duty. As if for some reason, posting a sign should be the only layer of defense between the innocuous choice of a 13-year-old girl to go in waters that don't look deadly in her life. You know, we just have a greater obligation to protect people on public parks. That's how public safety works. But there is that stigma that I think probably evolved to somehow protect us. We like to think it couldn't happen to us. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it really can. It can happen to anyone. It happens so fast.
We're going to continue our conversation if all of my guests are willing to hang out through the news, because we also have some listeners who are calling in, and I'd like to make sure we get everyone's thoughts on this. And we also want to talk about this tragic story out of Michigan where the family was out kayaking, I believe.
Lake Superior.
Yeah. More conversation when we continue. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. If you want to join us, 312-981-7200. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Eric, hold on. John, hold on as well. We will get your calls, I promise. I think. Well, I shouldn't promise, because like, what if they hang up, then it's not my fault. It's something just happened.
Over the past 3 years, new vehicle leasing has exploded in popularity in the Chicago market, and that's good news for Chicago consumers. Thousands of low-mileage cars and trucks are coming off lease in great condition, and now they're available for purchase at your Chicagoland new car dealers. These vehicles are safety inspected and certified to be sold with manufacturer warranty at the most competitive prices. Click over to drivechicago.com for a comprehensive listing of the best used vehicles in the Chicago market today. That's drivechicago.com.
You've got a lot riding on the dependability of your car or truck. Why waste a sick day because your car won't start? Choose wisely where you get your car serviced. Your Chicagoland new car dealer has factory-trained technicians with specialized tools and top-quality replacement parts to fix your car right the first time. With a listing of 400 franchise dealers, find a service location today at drivechicago.com. Log on to drivechicago.com for all of your service needs.
Prospect Heights condos didn't have fire sprinklers. Automatic fire sprinklers protect your family, business, and property. Visit sprinklerfitterchicago.org. Save a life today. sprinklerfitterchicago.org.
Whether you're a serious runner or just running errands, you don't want pain to slow you down. That's why at North Shore Orthopedic Institute, we're focused on what's next. From minimally invasive surgery to regenerating knee cartilage to helping you wake up pain-free. At North Shore, we're helping you get back to the things you love. North Shore University Health System. Orthopedic care for what's next. Northshore.org/ortho.
Chicago has a new hit musical. Avenue Q is the Tony Award-winning best musical from the writers of the Book of Mormon. And like that irreverent comedy, Avenue Q is a naughty, funny, lovable show not for kids. Clearly. Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune proclaims Avenue Q is a hit at Mercury Theater, and WTTW Chicago Tonight loves the mix of warmth and naughtiness. I feel like that's the kind of stand-up I do. I think it's warm and naughty. There's nothing wrong with that. Visit mercurytheaterchicago.com for Avenue Q, now playing at Mercury Theater Chicago. After our news, we'll continue our conversation about water safety and what you need to know to stay educated and help those in your family and your circle of friends understand what it means to have a good time at the lake and come back home afterwards, because that's always been my, as a lifeguard, I always told people, I know I seem mean, but it's not my job for you to have a good time. It's my job to make sure you go home safely. So we're going to talk about that some more after the news. Here with everything you need to know is Andrea Darlis.
And a Cook County judge who lost a bid to overturn her fraud conviction has now dropped her attempt to seek retention in November. Judge Jessica O'Brien was convicted earlier this year of fraudulently obtaining mortgages for Chicago investment properties and illegally pocketing more than $300,000. Also, Wisconsin adding up to the damage after some major flooding today. And two sisters from Norridge killed in a crash this morning with the Cook County Sheriff's Squad car in Niles. It was a Dempster in Harlem. The 47-year-old Cook County officer was not seriously hurt. And Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke walked out of the Cook County jail today after Judge Vincent Gaughan upped his bond $2,000 for giving media interviews in violation of a longstanding gag order. Jury selection began this week in the murder trial in his murder trial in the death of Laquan McDonald in 2014. Traffic, sports, and weather next on WGN.
Do you or a loved one struggle with a mental health condition? Have you lost a loved one to suicide? You're not alone. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is dedicated to saving lives and bringing hope to those affected by suicide. Join AFSP Saturday, September 22nd for the Out of the Darkness Chicagoland Walk to raise awareness about suicide prevention. Walking together will bring these issues out of the darkness and into the light. To register or donate, go to chicagowalk.org/WGN.
It's time to join the millions of people using Zoom video conferencing. Turn any size conference room, huddle room, or executive office into a Zoom room. With flawless HD video, crystal clear audio, and instant wireless sharing, it'll even work with your existing hardware. Start your meetings with a single touch or use Zoom's new voice command feature. Hey Zoom, start meeting. Huddle happy. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free Zoom room trial today. That's Zoom.us. Zoom video conferencing.
When the world is watching, and you need your logo perfectly printed on promotional items, you need the ultimate guarantee. You need certainty. To know for certain it'll be right the first time, on the right items, at a great price. You need the promotional product experts at 4imprint. Because as soon as something has your logo on it, it matters to you, your customers, your coworkers, and to us. From pens and caps to hot tech and popular brands, 4imprint's wide selection always changes to keep up with the latest trends. But there is one thing we've delivered for over 30 years that's timeless. Certainty. Because the world is certainly watching. Explore thousands of promotional products at 4imprint.com. That's the number 4imprint.com. 4imprint. For certain.
WGN Sports, White Sox have the day off. Cubs losing to Washington right now 4-3, that game in the top of the seventh inning. WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast for the rest of the evening. Clear skies, rain moving in overnight possibly, a low of 65. That rain will continue into Friday morning, a high of 70, and Saturday cloudy, a high of 69. Sunday, showers in the morning with a high of 67 degrees. Currently it's 67 at O'Hare, 68 at Midway, and 67 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. Next news update will be at 9 o'clock. I'm Andrea Darlis on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
School may be back in session and summer may be nearing its end, but it's always the time to talk about water safety, and people will continue to be going out on their boats, going to the beaches this weekend, next, and until it's too cold to do so. Joining us in studio on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis is Dave Benjamin. He is the director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. On the line with us is Hallie Quesada, who started the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety, and we have some listeners who are joining the conversation as well. I want to welcome Eric, who has been on hold for a bit, and I want to thank him for that. Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thanks. I wanted to mention that I was a fire department paramedic for over 30 years, And we are all trained in a certain amount of water and ice rescue. And if you're a bystander, and for the paramedics also, we were taught the mnemonic, if I can even say the word, of reach, throw, row, go. So if you see somebody drowning, first you try and reach them. Take off your belt. If you can reach them and they can grab onto something, great, you can pull them in. The next step would be throw them something that's of, you know, flotational ability. You try and either go out to them, preferably in a boat if you've got a boat. But the last thing you want to do is actually go out, because then you're going to most likely have two people in distress, because the person, as your guest said, goes into panic mode and they're going to grab onto anything that they can. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a quick story. I won't even fish from the shore on Lake Michigan without a flotation vest. I was perch fishing by the planetarium a few years ago. I was with my brother. And I got hit by a rogue wave. The lake was kind of choppy, and not only was I instantly soaked, but it almost knocked me off of the area that I was fishing from. And I was thinking, man, there's rocks down here, and if I got, you know, swept into the rocks, hit my head, I'd be a goner. Mm. So even as a civilian, I also carry a flotation device in the trunk of my car. It's called a rescue disc, and it's basically a flotation frisbee that has a rope attached. So if you're a bystander and you see somebody drowning in the lake, you can throw them this frisbee-like device, and hopefully they'll grab onto it, and then you can reel them in.
I immediately just opened my phone. I'm like, how do I not have a rescue disc in my car? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. That's a great. Right. It's a, yeah. Well, it's, but I mean, it could happen anywhere. If you're driving along and you see somebody, even if a car goes in the water, or you know, there's a lot of different situations where this could, you know, really make a difference.
Exactly.
In saving someone.
I've been on a number of near drownings where the person was in full cardiac arrest, and it was usually kids from a pool. It only takes a second, you know, for a mom to, you know, run inside and answer the phone, and then she thinks everything's going to be okay. And next thing you know, the child's in cardiac arrest. Fortunately, we were able to resuscitate everybody. But if you recall, in the wintertime in Chicago, there was the Jimmy Tanilevitz case, where the kid drifted out onto frozen Lake Michigan, found a weak spot, and then I think it was a WGN news crew that was able to throw him a electrical cord from one of their cameras and help reel him in. Wow. So, you know, it can happen in an instant. But again, the mnemonic is reach, throw, row, and go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you're ever at a pool, you'll see a lot of different devices. There's something called a shepherd's hook on the side of the pool, which guards will use in order to extend something for someone to reach to if they're struggling. So that because one of the things with guards, the last thing they want to do is jump, which is go, because that puts the other swimmers in danger if they're not paying attention. If now they're in the water, as you mentioned, with somebody who's struggling. It's been a long time since. Now we know flip, float, follow, and reach, throw, row, go.
Correct.
Yes. These are things that we're trying to take away from this. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your input.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you. And we also have on the line with us John, who wanted to also share his thoughts. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm just calling. I'm a great proponent of the Dave Benjamin and the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. 5 years ago, my wife and I went through the nightmare of losing our only child, Matthew. He was 15. He got caught in a rip current. Dave, we contacted Dave. We heard that he was an expert in it. He came out to our neighbor's home. He just enlightened us about so much. But we were still, struck by grief so much. My wife started a foundation, the Matthew Coker Foundation, in Matt's memory. And we've worked with Dave and the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project in sponsoring classes to about 60,000 students, I think, that we've sponsored to go out. It's mostly to schools in the southwest suburbs to get the message out about water safety. If you're a teacher or you're in school administrator and you're listening to this, I would encourage that you would schedule Dave and the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project for a day at your school. It is time well spent. I'm a retired guidance counselor from Richards High School. We go there every year, and each year it's received greatly. Every school that we go to, whether it be a elementary school, junior high, or a high school, everybody's struck in awe by how much we do not know about the Great Lakes. Most of the people in the suburbs are pool people. We don't understand all the dangers of the Great Lakes. We appreciate the beauty of it, but there are so many dangers of it. And Dave and Bob just do an outstanding job. They've been invited back to numerous schools, and it's just something that it should be in all the schools. Matt was a big guy, mm-hmm. a three-sport athlete, an eight honor student. He just didn't know about what was going on when he got caught in the rip current. Matt was 6'4", 243 pounds. He got caught in a knee-high rip current, and it dragged him out, and I'm sure that's what he was doing. He was fighting the waves fighting the current. He panicked, and they couldn't get to him in time.
Oh, I'm
but,
so sorry, John.
All of Dave, that Dave and Bob Benjamin do, they're the best. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage anybody to, to take full advantage of their expertise by scheduling an appointment or a class sessions with Dave and Bob.
John, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's such a strong and courageous thing that you do to make sure that other people are aware and carrying on the legacy of your son, Matthew, and the work that you and your wife do. I want to thank you for that.
You bet. Thanks for spreading the word about water safety by having Dave on the show. Because, time goes by, and I don't know why there's not more.
We will continue. Yes.
Public. There's more media coverage of it. Yep. Some of the radio stations now are talking about beach warnings, stay out of the water. There's rip currents. There's structural currents. Not too long ago, you never heard of it, on TV, too. They're saying, tomorrow's going to be hot, but stay out of the water.
Right.
There's going to be dangerous waves. So there's small steps in the right direction.
I appreciate you, John. You have a good night. We look forward to talking to you again, too, because we will continue to have this conversation. I promise you that.
Great.
Thank you, John.
God bless.
God bless you,
Thank
too.
You.
And tragically, in John's situation and Hallie both, motivated by the tragedies that they experience in their lives, you came with a near-drowning situation yourself. People need to, I guess it's easy to tune it out. Hallie, you know, the work that you're doing and trying to get involved. And again, remind people about this meeting you're having this Sunday.
Yes, we're having a strategic planning meeting to set up specific goals throughout the year. As John said, this has to be a multi-layered approach for it to be sustainable. We're working with schools. We're working with the Airbnb and TripAdvisor trying to get water safety ratings, really looking at how are we changing culture. So if you're interested, you can join us Sunday from 2 to 3:30 in Rogers Park. Register for the event. We'll send the address. You can go to Facebook, Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety.
We have a question from a listener, and this is a fair question, everybody. 219, can anyone float?
I believe that anyone can float. Some are going to be more naturally buoyant at it, but I believe that you can, because I never really practiced floating, until I had this situation, and that was my exit strategy, was I'm going to float and stay, once I got through the drowning segment.
For anyone who goes to a pool, just take the time to just practice floating.
Go to the shallow section and just float. Yeah.
And you can even meditate while you're doing it.
And when we say float, we don't mean like you're perfectly level with the water. It's leaning back and getting your chest high to the water, which gets your head at the highest point out of the water. Your feet may be dangling, or you may be kind of like riding a bicycle, paddling your hands a little bit. It's not like you're being perfectly still. We believe that, people can do it. And what you want to do is take deep breaths to inflate your lungs, because it increases your buoyancy. And, you know, the thing is, when you're panicking, you're hyperventilating, you're exhaling more than you're inhaling, and you're decreasing your buoyancy because you're running out of air.
Yeah. Before we go, I wanted to make sure we talk about the story about the family that tragically died in a kayaking accident over the Labor Day. Was this over the Labor Day weekend as well?
It started the Labor Day weekend. It was Friday. And
go ahead.
You know, it's just horrific that this incident happened. A family of five went out on Lake Superior on a 13.5-foot tandem sit-on-top kayak, which my assumption, we don't have all the details yet, but it's like a two-seater kayak that there's two adults and three kids on that, you know, that's overloading the kayak. So, was it their kayak or did the kayak belong to the rental place? You know, it was their last weekend, their big last hurrah before school starts, their last vacation of the summer. They had been to this vacation rental the previous summer, so they had some experience. And unfortunately, they were setting off on a 4-mile open water paddle and didn't realize, you know, you get away from the shelter of one of the islands, the wind and waves can be out there and overcome you. They got capsized, all five of them in the water. They did some things that were safer, like they did all have life jackets on. They did have a cell phone in a waterproof case and a flashlight, but they didn't dress for the water temperature. Right. You know, and when they had kayaked, the husband, from the stories I've read, was gathering the children. The mom was going back to the kayak to get the cell phone, and she got separated from them. Now, the kids were just in bathing suits and a life jacket. The mom was fully clothed in a life jacket. The husband was wearing pants and a life jacket. So they weren't dressed for the water temperature.
Oh, my God.
When she sent her text messages and 911 calls, she didn't have cell reception. And so, you know, 4 p.m. is when she's sending these messages, trying to make these 911 calls. And her sister didn't receive a 911 text until 8:30. So mm-hmm. This is 4 hours after they've already been in the water. So having a float plan, having, you know, a personal locator beacon. Now, this is what professional, you know, kayakers or, you know, people who are always got, this is like their standard equipment, having a bilge pump, knowing which type of thing. So again, water safety is not common sense. Kayaking is not common sense. Most people don't know that, you know, this family trip could become tragic. And then one of the worst things about it is all over social media, the keyboard warriors who are blaming the victims and blaming the parents and thinking this couldn't happen to them, and just really harsh and critical and just completely
rather than listening,
unfair.
That's what we try to talk about on the show, is listen to what the story is, what the circumstances were, you know, participate in the conversation. I don't know, I agree, why go on the attack on this family? And because the mother,
they're already grieving. Yeah, I mean, their family. And
yeah,
and it's not just this drowning, it's just every drowning. But this one, you know, because it went viral, it, you know, was nationwide, got a huge attention. You know, if parents don't know that drowning is the leading cause of accidental death for children 1 to 4 and the second leading cause of accidental death for children 1 to 14, and if they don't know that the weather can change really fast, and if they don't know that this isn't the right kayak to take into open water, this is a kayak to go along the shoreline, and that, you know, you shouldn't overload it. And, you know, we would think that these things are common sense, but they're not.
Right.
Because these kayak accidents happen all the time. And then one reason why I think there's not going to be much change with this for some time is because there's no liability. So if there was a company that was producing a product that was making people sick or killing people, there would be a huge recall. But when it comes to the paddle sport industry, these are now mass produced. Mm-hmm. They're mass retailed. The price points have come way down. You can get a kayak at some grocery stores, you know. Menards, Home Depot,
sure Costco.
It's going to come down to what the best we can, I guess, at this point do is continue to have these conversations. And I want to invite you back, and as well as Hallie Quesada, who started the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety. Find their Facebook page for more information. And Dave, where can people go for the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project?
You can search us on Facebook, Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. Our website is glsrp.org. And one last notice. October 23rd and 25th, there's going to be a Great Lakes Water Safety Conference in Cleveland.
Excellent.
Held by the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, and Great Lakes Beach Association.
Excellent. Hallie, thank you so much for not just joining us tonight, but the work that you're doing. I know it's hard because the circumstances under which you started this organization, the tragic death of Darianne Torres. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the hardest part is we can do all this work and she's still not going to go home. So we need to make sure that people like you are doing what you're doing and spreading this word broadly.
Well, thank you so much. You be well, and I hope to see you in studio sometime. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. More after this. We're going to check in with Renato Mariotti, who's got some thoughts on the news of the week.